1 Corinthians, you all right there, Jan? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Everybody's coughing and sniffling and everything else. But we're glad we're saved. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, there's two issues that I've been working through that will probably I'm trying to help people. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. And he said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. I dealt with the last couple Sundays on the issue of biblical giving, tithing, whatever you want to call it. I've been around some people that when you say tithing, they just go nuts. They just said, you're not preaching right, you're a heretic, you're a false whatever. I had a pastor in Kenya, in Rongo, that we were preaching with down there a couple years ago. And he's a good man, Pastor Achilla, and we just enjoyed his fellowship, and his wife made a big old meal for us, and boy, she was insistent that I go by and eat her food, and I'm glad I did. But we were packing, we were loading everything up, ready to head out. And Pastor Achilla was there, and he was talking and everything. And he said, Pastor, I want to ask you a question. He said, help me with the issue of tithing. And I did. I went through some scriptures with him and told him. And here's why he was asking. And I found out that it's that way with several. I don't know how many ministers in Kenya in different places, but a lot of these guys are not supported. Number one, by their own church. Number two, by anything else, and they have to make a living for themselves. And there's no shame in that. The first church I pastored, they could only afford just a little bit of a salary. So, I mean, I worked 4 or 5 days a week, and I ministered out there. It can be done. It's done by a lot of men. But it's good to have busy hands when you're in the ministry. It really is. It's good to have busy hands. But I told him, I said, Pastor, I said, your church has a responsibility to help support your needs. They have that responsibility. We covered the last two Sundays, covered the issue of the Levite priests. God would not allow them to have a portion of the land so they could grow crops and raise cattle and things like that. God wouldn't allow them to have it. He said, your portion, your inheritance is me. I'm your inheritance. So everybody from the other tribes, they brought their tithes to the tabernacle or the temple, and God had actually portioned out what those guys, they didn't just take whatever they wanted. Hophni and Phinehas did that, and they got killed over it. Okay? God was serious about it. But God had divided a portion. Whatever animal came in, they got a piece of it. And it was a good piece. I mean, it wasn't just chunks and stuff that's hard to eat. I mean, they got good food. And Hophni and Phinehas are a type of ministers who always want more. They preach. Peter taught this, Jude taught it. They preach on the basis of covetousness. It's all about the money. My mother went to a church up north here. I won't say which. They may have changed it. I don't think it was this church that did it. But she went up there to hear a singing group. Her and Mary and her friends up there, they like to go to these gospel singings. Well, there was a group up there that they liked. I liked their music and played their music before. And then they had a representative from Jerry Falwell's Liberty Ministry. Okay? So the singers sang and everybody's having a good time. And the guy from Jerry Falwell's ministry comes out and he's talking up everybody how important he is and how important their work is and how the country would be terrible without it. Then he had the ushers go out and pass the plate to everybody. So the singers came back on for a while. They's back there counting money. The fella comes back out after 3 or 4 songs and says, you guys didn't give enough. So he made them all feel bad and passed that plate again to get more money out of them. That's corrupt. That's wicked. Okay? Jerry Falwell has died And his ministry is turned over to his son, I believe, and his son has taken that in places that I can see Jerry leaning in that direction over the years. He used to be really straight, but money came in the scene, and he starts apologizing for things he said and so on that ain't right. And now his son is taking that. They have rock and roll concerts, and they have all kinds. It's a mess. But anyway, that's what are there ministers and pastors that abuse that? Yes, there is. There's no doubt about it. God will take care of them. God will fix it for them. He'll judge them harshly, or he'll straighten them out one way or the other. But God will take care of it. But anyway, that's the deal for it. Now, and we covered the issue of he said the gathering for the saints, and I believe in that. I believe in helping take care of people's needs, and so on. And I believe that's biblical. But anyway, the other issue that was brought up, he mentioned there in verse 2, he said, upon the first day of the week, let everyone of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody here ever been approached by somebody, either personally or with an email or with some sort of Facebook message or a post or whatever, about how wrong it is to go to church on Sunday? Has anybody ever been taught that? You've seen that. Okay, anybody else? There's always people everywhere. If I've gotten one of these, I've gotten a dozen of them. There's a little book that people send me. It's called National Sunday Law. It's about this thick, and it's full of garbage. It's absolutely full of garbage. I didn't know that this was the day. I've heard of Seventh-day Adventists before, okay, in the past, and I didn't really, they said, well, they go to church on Saturday. Oh, okay. And I didn't really look much into the source of their doctrine or where they get it. But I am going to deal with the issue of why we're here, because you will be accused of having the mark of the beast for sitting in church on Sunday. They do. And I did a meeting, I think it was in Baltimore, Maryland. And I did a meeting there, and I had a lady shout out in the meeting while I was speaking about going to church on Sunday being the mark of the beast. And an old friend of mine named Al Cuppett, he came visited here a few months ago. He put her down. He said, "It is not, woman, sit down." You got to know Al. I mean, he's old military guy, and he just didn't put up with it. Sit down, woman. Okay? And so I appreciated him for that. But I had a man come up to me in Iowa, and he's very sincere, and he was very humble about it, and he asked me to look into it. And I said, "I want to tell you what, I appreciate you. I appreciate the spirit. I appreciate the attitude." And he said, "I think you're a man of God." He said, "But I want you to study this." And so I have. I've had other people bring it to me. You know, "Hey, pastor, you know, what are we doing wrong? What is it that we're doing?" Let's do this before we do anything. He mentioned doing it upon the first day of the week. Okay, so we have an establishment here of Paul of something that Paul is setting forth. And not just Paul. Remember, these are the words of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wanted this in your Bible. Upon the first day of the week, let everybody lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Boy, I like that. Amen. There's liberty there. If God's blessed you, you bless. Okay. If he's blessed you a bunch, you have the ability to bless other people a bunch. My goodness, you're blessing Obama every tax period. Amen. Okay. But anyway, and boy, you pray for him. He's in the hospital, what I heard. I wonder if he's got Obamacare.
No, he exempted himself.
Oh, he exempted himself?
Even Congress exempted himself.
Oh, well, that's a shame, because he could have had really good health care if he'd have got on the government roll. Turn to the 70th chapter of your Bible. 70th chapter of your Bible. 7 times 10. I like that. First time I found that, I went, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen. It's Exodus 20. There's 50 chapters in Genesis. So 20 more chapters would be 70. And the number 7 is for the Word of God. The number 7 is for perfection. And it's the 7 spirits of God. And then number 10 is the number for the law and dominion. And what do you find in the 70th chapter of your Bible? You find the Ten Commandments written by God. And so God spake all these words saying, that's seven words. In verse 1 of seven words in your King James Bible, God spake all these words saying. God, I read that one, I was counting the words, and I'm going, that is pretty cool. There's seven words. And the Holy Ghost says, Mike, do you believe that? And I had stopped and looked. I thought about it for a minute. And I thought about what God spake all these words saying. And what I was getting was, this Bible that I hold in my hand is Mike. God's asking, Mike, do you believe what's written on this piece of paper? Do you believe that I spoke all these words? And I had to say yes. I have to believe that. I have to believe that if this right here is right in front of me, then God spoke it. Amen. If you look in verse 8, here's the law. Seventh-day Adventists, and there are other groups, some of the Hebrew Roots people. There's a big, big Hebrew Roots outfit up here in St. Peter's, run by Jim Staley. He is way, way, way out there. And they always meet on Saturday because that's what they say God tells them to do. The Seventh-day Adventists have a special revelation from God concerning the Sabbath day. I'll tell you where their doctrine came from. And I have a fellow that lives out in Pennsylvania, and he's a good follower of our ministry, and he sent me some information. He used to be Seventh-day Adventist. Did you used to be?
No, I don't think
so. Okay.
Ellen White.
And he said, Mike, I'm going to send you some statements from Ellen White. He said, when I was Seventh-day, he said, I was hook, line, and sinker Seventh-day. He said, I was in all the way. And he said, I had all the books and studied and everything. And he sent me a bunch of stuff that she had said. And my jaw just dropped. Her doctrine does not come from your Bible. They make it look like it does, but it does not. It comes from her extra-biblical revelations that she had in the mid-1800s. She said that she got carried to heaven by a vision. And she saw there, God and Jesus and all that stuff. But she saw the Ten Commandments emblazoned in the background, and there was like glory beams of light shooting out of it. But she said the fourth commandment shone more glorious than the other nine. Okay? Now, you read 1,189 chapters of your Bible, you'll never see that. You'll never see that in doctrine. You'll never see it in notation. You won't see it anywhere. That's not in here. There is no place in the Bible where God places a special emphasis upon the fourth commandment, ever. It's not there. Okay? That's what she said. And then she said this. It is true that Christ took the ordinances and nailed that were against us and nailed them to his cross. That's what's said in Colossians. Okay? But she said the exception is the fourth commandment. She said the fourth commandment must be kept. We must keep the Sabbath. Now, people have, I don't know if it came from her, might have, but over the years people have expounded upon this idea to say that if you are in attendance on Sunday, and they make a big deal about it being called Sunday, you know, with the sun, they say that comes from sun worship, and you're a pagan, okay? Well, yeah, Saturday comes from Saturn, okay? Who was the seventh god. Anyway, they say that if you go to church on Sunday, that is the mark of the beast right there. It is the mark of the beast. Then they go into all this stuff about what the Roman Catholic Church said. I could go all day long and not read anything from the Catholic Church. I know they're wrong. I know they're full of nonsense and everything else. What they said doesn't change what the Bible says. Okay? But anyway, that's that deal. And they have this idea that the beast is going to come on the scene and he's going to impose a law that's going to blanket the whole world, and it's going to make everybody go to church on Sunday. That's their idea of the Antichrist. And when that happens, when the beast starts making everybody by law go to church on Sunday, then that's everybody taking the mark of the beast. That's made up. Okay? That's not true. So I've had people call me and ask me, Pastor, what do you think about keeping the Sabbath? Why don't you study the Bible? We know you study the Bible. How come you have church on that pagan day of Sunday? How come you don't go to church on Saturday? And I always ask them, the same question. Everybody that calls me and asks me, emails me, calls me on the phone, whatever. I say to them, you show me in the Bible. You show me in the Bible a verse. I'll need two of them, but I'll settle for one that commands me to go to church only on one day out of the week or prohibits me from going to church any other day of the week. You show me that verse. First time I came up with that, somebody on the phone, there was this long pause. They were trying to think of it. And I said, you know what? When I stand before God, I already know what's against me. I already know. If I read the Ten Commandments over and over, I'm going, yeah, that one. Got that one. Boy, I did that one. When I go stand before God, He is going to read the law to me. He's not going to read Ellen White's books. He's not going to read National Sunday Law against me. He's not going to tell me that I had the mark of the beast because I came to worship on the first day of the week. I am guilty before God because of what the law says, not what somebody makes it out to be. So let's look at the law. Let's look at what the law says concerning the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So, number one, there should be a remembrance of the Sabbath day. Now, I've taught on this before, and there are differing opinions, and I'm fine with that, but I think you ought to take a Sabbath rest. I absolutely do. Your body was not designed to work 7 days a week for prolonged periods of time. It'll mess your mind up. Okay? There are guys who are trying to make it big in life and trying to earn big money. They work 7 days a week nonstop, and I'm telling you, you can't do that. Jesus told us what the Sabbath was for. It was for us. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The fruition of the Sabbath day is going to be the 1,000-year reign of Christ. The day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. We've just about expired 6,000 years, and we're about ready to go into the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and the world is going to rest for 1,000. Can you imagine that? Amen.
Amen.
All the swords beaten into plowshares. You know what that means? No more war, and there's going to be a lot of food.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe that. I think war creates poverty. Okay? It's just my little impression of it. But I think Christ is going to reign, and we're going to reign with Him, and there's not going to be any more wars in the world, and all the swords are going to be beat into plowshares, and the lion is going to lay down with the lamb. That's what it says. I believe that. Amen? But anyway, He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I think there should be a Sabbath remembrance in your life. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. That's what He said. By the way, He said to work 6 days. He said to work 6 days. Okay? That's what He said. Verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all them that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now I'm going to tell you something. Sunday is not a rest day for Mike Hoggard. It's not. It is this. I'm not resting. Listen, my version of resting would have been 10 minutes after 7 this morning when I figured out I didn't want to get out of bed. I would have stayed there. If it had been like it was last Saturday, I stayed in bed. I did not feel good at all. I was very, very tired. I don't know what it was. And I did. I got up and did a little bit during the day Saturday, but most of the day I spent in bed. I am not resting today. This is my labor. This is my work. This is what I do. You ask me to start having church on Sunday, you're working me to death. Start having church on Saturday. And so anyway, that's the extent of what the law says. That is the extent of it. That's what it says. And I was going through this with somebody and they said, you know, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. And they said, yeah, but how do you keep it holy? You go to church. No. You added that. You put that in there. That was made up in your mind that you think it ought to be. You think that is the way to do it. But that is not what it says. And when I stand before God, I'm not going to be held against me things that somebody else made up of things I ought to do. The Jews spent several thousand years taking the law, writing a commentary on the law, and then writing a commentary on the commentary of the law. And they're the Jews. By the time Jesus comes on the scene, he's the one upbraiding them for having all these loopholes built into the law so they could actually get by with breaking the law. But according to them, they're not breaking the law. And he said, you have by your traditions made void the law. You've made it, you've turned it into vanity by your traditions, by the things you've added. And those things, I can't remember what they're called, some Jewish word. Those things are still being studied by supposedly Christian ministers and applied to people's lives in church. I don't go for that. I think if you want to, well, say, well, you know, the Jews, I mean, they were God's people. They were close to God. No, they weren't. They were a bunch of idol-worshipping, adulterous reprobates, hard-headed, hard-hearted. And Christ came down to his own people, and his own people received him not. And so Paul finally got sick of them. He said, I'm not preaching to you, you Jews in the synagogues ever again. He said, I'm going to the Gentiles where they'll believe it. Paul was one of them, and he turned against his own people. Does that mean God's done with them? No. But don't think that you have to go back and study the Hebrew language, the Hebrew people, and all their traditions and all their books and how they thought and, well, the Jewish rabbis should say this. Who cares? They killed every prophet that God sent them, including Christ. I don't feel obligated, and my Bible does not give me the obligation to go study how the Jews perceived everything. Can I hear you say amen? And I listen, you people in Kenya listening to me. By the way, there's a guy that I'm gonna mention him. I hope he's doing it today. We have a man that interprets for me while I'm speaking. When I go to Kenya and have various interpreters, I have to give about a sentence and wait for him to interpret it. This guy does it on the fly. Boom, boom. He's interpreting while I'm speaking. God bless you. Amen. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. In Kenya, one of the first things I noticed traveling through Kenya was the Seventh-day Adventist movement had lots of strongholds in Kenya. They had churches everywhere. And I don't know if there's any within the sound of my voice up in Kenya. But I'm telling you, search the scriptures. Be Bereans, like in the book of Acts. Search the scriptures to see whether these things are so. It does not tell you anywhere in verse 8, 9, 10, 11, four verses here, does not tell you that you have to go to church on Saturday. It does not say that. There is no place in the Bible that says the Sabbath day and going to worship on the Sabbath day is of any higher value than any of the other commandments. It does not tell you that. It does, however, in fact, go to Colossians. Go to Colossians. By the way, you folks that have been praying for me, I mentioned Wednesday night that I wanted to read the Bible more. And for you to pray for me. I know some of you have been praying for me. And tell you what, I've been going through the book of Romans again. And boy, I tell you what, it's been blessing me. It really has. It has been blessing with me. Let's see here. Listen, my eyes landed on verse 8. That's not where I want to go. But in chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. You know what that vain deceit is? Telling you that you're closer to God because you go to church on Saturday. That's reprobate. That's nonsense. If you go into church on Saturday puts you in favor with God, then Christ died in vain. You're stealing the glory of the cross. But he said that after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Christ died and took the law with him. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now I just ask a question. Who would dare to admit that you have at times broken the fourth commandment by working on the Sabbath day? Done it. Okay? Sometimes the ox in the ditch. Amen? And then what Jesus said, which one of you guys, if you had an oxen falling into a pit, wouldn't go down straightway on the Sabbath day and pull him out? So you're telling me that it's wrong for me to heal on the Sabbath day? I think if Jesus would have, I'm sure he did. If he had been around today, he would have said, "You're crazier than a bed bug." Okay? Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Whose handwriting was it? God's. Whose finger touched that stone and wrote that in there? God's handwriting. It was God's handwriting. What did Jesus do? Blotted it out. That was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principality and powers, and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. But let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Pretty plain to me, isn't it? Pretty plain, isn't it? He said, don't anybody judge you. So what? Now, I want to say this. If you want to worship God on the Sabbath day, knock yourself out doing it. Have a ball. Amen. Just spend all day fasting and praying and studying your Bible and just separating yourself from the world. I think that's probably about the best way to do it. Amen. And if you want to go to church service on a Saturday, praise the Lord. Do it. No law against it. Amen? No law against it. No law compels it either. Not one. There's no place in the Bible that tells you that you must only go to church on the Sabbath day and not any other day. In fact, I have proof. Why? I'm going to ask you the question. Why do we come to worship on the first day of the week? Why? Huh? First fruits to God's? To God. Okay, I said it wrong. New beginning? Go ahead. Apostles did. Oh, that ain't the Bible. Here we go. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Turn there, hurry. For that bell's going to ring and I won't be able to do this. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Melissa, you said you stole my thunder, actually. No, the other Melissa. The Melissa that never hit me. Yet. Mark 16, 9. Matthew 6, 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You can even go back in the law and you'll find that the first things always belong to God. First fruits. Okay, when you go get that first picking out of the vineyard or off the apple trees or out of the harvest, first fruits belong to God. Firstborn belongs to God. Firstborn of every animal belong to God. Every firstborn thing. Jesus was the firstborn. He belongs to God. Okay? Some people ask, should you pay tithes on your net or your gross? Okay, I don't really get into that. I'll leave it up to you. But I'm saying, if you're going to pay tithes on your net, make sure God gets the first check written, and let God write all the other checks. Okay, that's just how it works. Amen. I didn't really teach much on that, but that's just how it works. So this is the first day of the week. The first things belong to God. This is one of the reasons why we are here today. We have set aside in our hearts and in our lives and in our routine the fact that we're before anything else in the week takes place, before our work, before our labor. And I'll tell you something. You ought to thank God that we live in a country that was based upon scriptural principles and ideas.
Amen.
That we still have it in our mind that Sunday's first day of the week and we should go to church on today. Had it not been for the Bible in our nation, we would have been all been at work this morning. We would have all been at work this morning. Okay? And so the first day of the week, I guarantee in the Muslim countries, they don't take Sunday off, go fishing and boating, and they work. They're at work. Okay? First day of the week, we set aside everything else. We devote it to God. We're not going to the stores. We're not going. There used to be blue laws in Missouri. Remember those days? Couldn't buy gasoline. Couldn't buy beer and cigarettes. Couldn't go to Walmart. Walmart was closed. Kmart was closed. Restaurants were closed. Everything was closed on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week. It was all closed. That all changed. Okay? But that's how it used to be. That's how we grew up. Okay? It's not that way anymore. So if anybody ought to be holding on to the first day of the week, if the government's not going to do it, the world ain't going to do it, we're going to do it. Amen. Just because they're running a sale today, you know what they're trying to do? Trying to get you out of the house of God. I guarantee you they're trying to get you out of the house of God. They want to pull you out of church so you can go buy it. Well, it's on sale, honey. We can save 10% on this deal. God's going to bill you 20. Okay? Anyway, first day of the week, he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In Mark chapter 16, verse 9. "Now when Jesus was risen early," on what day? The first day of the week. "He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils." These same people will also try to convince you that Christ rose on the Sabbath day. That's a lie. It's a twisting of scripture. It's just read Mark 16, 9 and stop. It says, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week." What day was it? What day does the Bible say Jesus rose from the dead? First day of the week. So you know what that commemorates? New life. Resurrection. When you are saved, you have been given it. When we're baptized, and that's what he was talking about back in Colossians. When you're saved and the Holy Ghost baptizes you, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's what this first day of the week commemorates. God did give us 7 days. I think you ought to rest on the seventh day. The first day of the week is a renewal of that week. Every day that we live is a renewal. Sun rises, it sets. A few hours later, it rises again. It's a renewal. God's mercies are new every day. God, the inner man, Paul said, is renewed daily. Okay? I am not the same person as when I went to bed yesterday. I'm renewed. I got wore out and tired at the end of the day. I'm renewed. It's been a long week for some people. I'm glad we're getting a new week started. Amen? That's what that, did that bell ring? Yeah. Well, I wasn't done with that. There's even in the law a commemoration of the eighth day as a Sabbath. It's in the law. We'll look at it next week, all right? And that's kind of, there's a number deal there. Isaac was circumcised on what day? Eighth day. That's new beginnings, new life. How many people were on the ark? Eight. And they come off into a new world. The baptism was the flood. And they come off the ark in Genesis chapter 8 into a new world. That's a picture of Christianity. It's a picture of God. You ever want to start all over again? Here comes God. He's going to give you the ability to start all over again. And not just the one time when you came to the altar. Every day you get up. God, let's try this again. Yesterday wasn't so good. God, let's try this again. All right. Boy, I do. I love it. Amen.